Ladies and gentlemen, we are going to Jamor. What a great game that was to watch. Even from a neutral standpoint, man, that was, if you were a neutral watching it, it would have been crazy. I was scared for most of the game, but you know.
You and everybody else.
No, yeah, most definitely.
Had about five brief minutes of like feeling good because we had the 2-goal advantage, but that lasted like 3 to 5 minutes max. So
it was a quick, yeah. It was a quick 5 minutes.
Yeah, before we get started, let me introduce you to everyone. First up is Richard. How are you doing today, man?
I am good. I'm good. Always good when we get beat Benfica. Even better when we do it to knock them out of the Tasa. So zero complaints. And we get to do it all again on Saturday, ladies and gentlemen. So God help us all.
Yeah, most certainly. And last but not least, Chris. How are you doing today, man?
I'm doing good. I'm very, very happy with the result. I've been busy with work the past like couple weeks. Thursdays have been terrible for me, so I haven't been on in a couple weeks. But I made sure that I was out of there by 4, so I only missed the very, very beginning. I was like, this is an important game. Got to be able to watch this one. Getting to Jamor, definitely, I would say, an objective this season. Nothing won yet, obviously. But reaching the final, unable to do so in the League Cup. I'd say this one's more important and a bigger deal anyway. So if you're going to have to pick between the two, I'd rather have the toss with the Portugal, of course. But yeah, I'm ecstatic that we're in the final. And I thought that, you know, we definitely did enough today to secure the draw, I think.
We still don't even know who the hell we're playing, by the way. We have no clue.
Porto and Guimarães play tomorrow. First leg away for Porto and then second leg, obviously, at home. 3rd of April and 17th of April are both of those legs. So on the 17th of April, I guess we'll find out exactly who we're playing. It's between Porto and Guimarães. Lastly as well, shout out to Danny. Can't be here tonight, but shout out to him. And of course, you can follow everyone at All Things Alvalade on every social media platform and podcast platform down there. Without further ado, let's get into the talking point. And that is obviously the game that just finished probably about 20 minutes ago. And that is Sporting 2. I said the wrong one, isn't it? Sporting 2. Benfica 2. Let me get the actual one up before we carry on.
One up. Does Goal Point already, would they have the rating? I would assume they would have the rating.
They're pretty quick with it, usually.
Yeah, it was just that they were just on top of each other, so I did the wrong one. There we go. Yeah. 2-2, I guess, victory on aggregate for Sporting. And the lineup is as followed: Franco Israel in goal, Ignacio Coates, Diamande, Esgaio, Nuno Santos, Braganza, Hulman, Paulinho, Trincao, and Jokeres. Off the bench came St. Just, Jenny, Mateus Reis, Morita, and Edwards. Richard, what are your overall thoughts of this game?
Oh, first of all, before we get to the positives, Esgaio and Trincao stinkers today. They were bad. Just
pulling out back ratings, by the way, just by looking at this.
Yeah, they were so ass. Diamande wasn't great either at times, but those two in particular stood out as being bad. This guy who offered nothing going out front. I don't think he made one forward, like, progressive pass the whole game. Trincao was just not like himself. He was just running into guys. He was forcing passes. It was every dumb thing you hate to see a player do, he did. Credit to Franco Israel. He probably kept us in, especially in the first half, kept us in this game. 5-5, I know, because it's 2 goals and a yellow card, but, like, really, you could bump that up a whole, like, to 6-5 at least, because he was huge this game. There was a couple saves in the second half. That one on Di Maria, which we'll talk about in a bit too, was just wild. Not much to really say other than that. Kouach was good, although on the tying goal, I was questioning why he didn't stick out his foot for the cross, unless he's thinking it might be an own goal if it hits off him, depending. So I can kind of see that. We finally picked it up. Hulman, the banger from outside the box. Couldn't be more in the top corner if you tried. And then that lead was immediately vanished. Minutes later, they make it 1-1 on the game. We end up making it 2-1. We had chances actually even to put it away and make it 3-1. And then, of course, they come down, score like minutes later. It was like that 5-minute spell where we're like, okay, we're looking good. We can get a second. We had a chance, missed it completely, and then they came down and scored, which was brutal. Paulinho was huge this game. Even without the goal. The goal was huge. He was just doing a good job getting into space. Like, it's one of his first touches, I think, was the goal. He barely touched the ball. It was crazy. Jokeres was good, although you could see they were kind of all over him for a stretch of the game, which kind of neutralized him a bit. He didn't do too much. He does get the assist on the one goal, so good for him. I thought when Jenny came in for Jgayo, that kind of transformed things a bit, and we saw them kind of pick it up a bit. I think just the whole first half can be, as I'm seeing the Paul Rodriguez comment, the whole first half was very sloppy. They just could not get out of their own area. Couldn't even get past half for the most part. It was just brutal. No other real chance. I thought Inacio kind of had a doo-doo game. I thought he wasn't looking great at times. He made some weird, silly decisions. No one really looked outstanding except for, like, the goal scorers and Franco Israel, if I'm being honest. That's really it. What did Israel get the yellow card for anyways?
Time
wasting. Like, I think I missed.
Yeah.
Oh, it was just a time we bumped him down a bunch. It was a stupid time wasting yellow. Okay, I was curious. Didn't really see what was going on there. Yeah, for me, he was my man of the match just for the several crazy saves he made. That Di Maria one in particular, standing out, but he made a couple wild ones. We were talking before the show, and we were like, yeah, I don't know if Adon makes like one or two of the saves Israel makes today, if we're being totally honest. I've seen enough. I think we ride with Israel, even when Adon's healthy at the end of the season, potentially. I think you roll with it now because he's starting to really find a bit of a rhythm now, and you take it. That's it. I don't have much else to add to this game. This was a very good game for the neutrals. It was back and forth, especially the second half was just back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. It was a good average. Marito Peixoto on Twitter said this is a perfect advertisement for Portuguese football, is this type of game. When there's not too much bullshit, it was just good football all around. That's all I really have to say for this game.
Yeah, fair enough. Chris, what are your overall thoughts on this game?
Definitely agree with most of what Rich said. I thought that like through some parts of the first half, maybe we were, I saw someone mentioned it. I don't know that we were like sleepwalking through part of the game. And I could definitely feel that. Benfica definitely like were creating better chances. I mean, I would just honestly say Benfica probably played better overall throughout the whole game. They had more chances. They took the initiative more. They had more possession. But part of that is kind of because they had to, right? I mean, they were down, so the onus was on them to try to turn the tie around. So some of that is just going to be natural. It's like when you're up 1-0 in the 90th minute, I mean, the other team is going to be pushing, right? And you're going to be on the defensive. So a bit of that is certainly natural due to the circumstances. I could see it. It felt like we had like a bunch of almost really dangerous counters, but just couldn't like get the final ball through. Jokeres was frustrated for a lot of the game. He's been getting man marked a lot more. He was getting man marked against Estel as well and kind of getting frustrated. I wouldn't say he's figured out because, I mean, even when he's locked up, right, he's still going to have three great chances a game, right? And when he's not locked up, he's going to have like 8 great chances, right?
Yeah, he still had an assist and had like a couple really good chances, and they still locked
and he
like,
hit the crossbar.
They locked him down, and he still could add a goal or two.
Joao Neves opted for the just fall down and grab your face technique and hope that the ref just calls it. Didn't work. So I mean, even when he's locked up, I mean, he's still incredibly dangerous and still going to have his chances. Not his greatest game. He's not on the score sheet. I'm sure he's disappointed with that. Any game he's not on the score sheet, I think he's disappointed. Still had an assist. Could have had more. He's different. I thought Paulinho was very, very quiet, especially in the first half. you know, there was one moment in like the 20th minute, I was like, oh my God, I almost like forgot he was out there because he hadn't touched the ball in so long. But, you know, sometimes it's like that. The defenders, I actually don't think that Diomande Diomande had a better game than Inacio. Goal point disagrees. I don't think either were particularly great. There was one also moment where Inacio is trying to tackle Rafa in the box from behind. He's like wrapping his leg around him. I'm like, bro, that is just, you're really playing with fire doing that. I didn't love Inacio today, but I mean, I guess he's done enough, right? He's done just enough to get the job done. I like Braganza as well. I actually thought he was our best player in the first half. Thought it was unfortunate that he was being subbed off. Especially when like the narrative is kind of starting to form that like Morita is possibly like losing his spot a little bit and Braganza's gaining notes in Amorim's book, right? So that this kind of in my head at least kind of put a lid on that a little bit because Braganza's playing pretty well and he's still taking him off. So I mean I think Morita's still his starter.
I think it's still his spot.
Yeah, I think it's just a bit of
rotation. It's not as secure as I would have said.
No, like he used to have a lock ago, on but... it, and now the grip is loosened a little bit, but I still think he has it.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, I just think that, you know, there was just we had enough luck. Great strike from Hjulmand. We've talked about his strikes from outside the box. Quite good at it. I think he has 4 goals this season.
He's a lot got of them come recently too, by the
he's
way.
He's got the banger in him. We knew right away, you know, week 3, you know, week 2, he's shooting. We could see it. So I'm glad that he scored a banger. Paulinho, right place, right time. Brief moments of feeling like the tie was just completely over at 4-2 and we were just going to coast home. That lasted 5 minutes. Some nervy moments at the end, but
yeah.
Done enough. And I mean, that's the most important mission accomplished.
They did what they had to do, right? At the end of the day.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough. I don't want to like carry on with what you guys have said. One thing you guys haven't mentioned was the plug that Nuno Santos picked up.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah. Well, I saw it on Twitter, but I missed that part of like, I missed that. That incident.
So it was probably in the first 10 minutes.
Yeah, I missed that.
Just picks up a who brings a plug to what?
Yeah, see, I get the lighter. The lighters. You got the lighter in your pocket because you're a cigarette smoker. Why? Maybe. I mean, I guess you know some people bring their phone charger.
Yeah.
And the cord is expensive. The cord could be like, I mean, I don't know how much it is in Canada or the UK, but like that cord from Apple can be like $50. The brick thing, the part that goes in the wall, you can just get anyone from anywhere.
Yeah, that's it was the.
So part that's why they threw that and they took the charger
off. It looked like the size of a phone.
Yeah, that was a brick. That was like a €1. That was a €1 brick from like a convenience store or something.
Yeah,
it was massive.
Crazy. If that hits him, depending on where it's thrown from as well, that's doing some serious damage.
If you get enough height and velocity on it, it hits him in the right spot. You could do a little bit of damage.
And it's the type of thing where it's like, even if you get caught, you're like, oh, it's just my phone charger. They might let you keep it, even if they catch you with it, you know. Or they're just really not. There was no pad down, which is the most likely scenario.
But Portugal, if I'm a betting man, I'm betting that their pad down was almost non-existent.
You know that meme of like the steward just like
he's just like
in the air. He's not actually even touching the people.
He literally just he goes.
Yeah,
you're good. Go. That's every stadium in Portugal in a nutshell. That's the pat down. That's not just a Benfica problem. That's an everybody in Portugal problem.
Yeah, definitely. But going through the players one by one, I guess I thought Israel was fantastic. Like we mentioned it before, but the way he's come in sort of a turbulent time for the Sporting in general, with Adam being out and him not having, he probably had less than 10 games.
Where do you guys stand on him right now?
I'm fine to ride him.
Do you think that you would ride with? Would you? Are you convinced that he's our starter, like going forward?
there's no point swapping them out because they say Adan's going to be back by the end of April. So what's that? Four games left of the season, five including.
If you get through the hellscape of games that you've had, you've already gotten through one of your toughest games. If you can get through April relatively unscathed, and you're still in a position to, at the very least, make Champions League, they're probably going to be in position to at least compete for the title, I assume. Israel. I don't see. I think if they continue on how they've been, and he continues how he's been, and keeps getting better every game, I don't see why you would mess that up. I come from the hockey school of you ride the hot goalie. If a goalie's playing well and he's winning you games or stealing you games, you go with that goalie. You don't just make an abrupt switch just because you feel like it. Like unless it's of course like an injury or suspension, that's different. But I would happily go with Israel moving forward, and Adan can sit on the bench and have a nice seat to watch the games.
Yeah, I don't think he's convinced me yet that he's the full-time starter going forward.
I think he's certainly convinced me
that he's the best keeper on our roster right now.
Yeah, I think in the moment up until the end of this season, till summer transfer window, I think he's the best we've got in the club. And you roll with that. Now things might change in the off season where you may still pick up a keeper and that question becomes much more open-ended. But until then, I ride with him.
Yeah. And I think Jack's right. He's a great shot stopper, but from corners. If they literally
have Patricio corner in
Israel today.
I actually saw a stat. I think you tweeted it, Sam, that Sporting conceded half their goals from set pieces this
40%,
season.
40%.
That sounds about right. It seems like really a lot bad. Of our goals have been that. I'm surprised it's that low. I thought it would have been higher. Yeah, I thought it would have been higher. He suffers from early.
To be fair, Adan isn't the greatest at dealing with crosses either.
Adan isn't the greatest at dealing with anything. So, he suffers from early Patricio syndrome, which is he can't field a cross, but he offers way more than what we've got right now. If he can figure out how to field crosses, then there might be a player there.
Yeah. For me as well, going through the back three, Ignacio and Diamande, the first 20 minutes, man, I don't know what it was. Bad. They did not want to keep the ball. They just like kept trying to move it. They didn't hold it on for like more than 2 seconds, kept giving it away, losing possession. Coates as well to an extent. And I thought Coates was actually pretty good this game. But there are just some things about Coates. I think he is always consistent, but there's always one sort of error. And I think it was on the goal. Benfica's second goal, that was the error. And he does sort of lose concentration a bit, doesn't really watch where the line is. 5 centimetres offside, I don't know if that is true, because it looked a bit more like more centimetres than five on that play anyway. But I thought that the back three were, the original back three were very poor today, minus Coates. And then St. Just, when he came on, I thought we looked a bit more calm. Same with Jenny as well. I thought Jenny came on and was levels above Ricardo's guy just for the goal.
How does Gaio have a 5.8? He was doo-doo. He was so bad. He was awful. He didn't make one forward progressive pass. I think the whole time he was on pitch.
Goal, Jenny should really get an assist for that because he takes a shot at Trubin. Fair enough. Trubin spills it. Should probably catch it. But go straight to Paulinho for the goal. Big game.
If it was hockey, we'd give him the assist. I'm just saying. We should give him the hockey assist.
Don't look now, but this is the third best season of Paulinho's career from a goal-scoring perspective. And there are still some games to go.
What are the other two? I'm trying to think.
No, the first one for Braga. He scored like 22.
Yeah, he had one or two. Yeah, he had one or two. What's he at now?
I believe he's on 18 in all comps, if I'm not mistaken. I'm sure Sam knows the exact number.
We literally had this discussion like a week, like 2 weeks ago, Danny and I think. Or Sam, we literally had this discussion like 2 or 3 weeks ago too, where it's like, what's he at? Because we know he's at least matched what he did the season before.
Yeah, consecutive games as well. I want to say maybe 2 consecutive games. So.
A lot of his goals have been kind of far between at times, but a lot of his goals have been like at the best time, like very clutch.
No, 100%. Yeah. But Jenny, I thought was fantastic coming on. He made Ozuna's life pretty difficult on that side. Mm-hmm. And part of me does wonder, because I feel Jenny starting in this game probably won't have the same effect as it did when he came on. So maybe Jenny is going to be that backup right back to come on when.
Super sub.
Yeah. Because I know his guard didn't make really progressive passes, but I don't think he did anything too. Like, I wasn't like, oh, this guy, you're at fault for
a goal. He didn't make any egregious mistakes. He just didn't. He offered absolutely zero. Nothing. He offered negative going forward. 100%. Nothing offensively, and was a bit, and was a,
and he was a, I guess the thinking in my mind at least is that, like, Jenny is better going forward, but he doesn't offer us as much defensively, so I'm gonna sacrifice the offensive output to have the better defender. Well, he doesn't defend that well either, so at least with Jenny there's some threat getting going forward. Like,
you're getting at least some positive, yeah, right?
With Ezgayo, he's not defending. He's just getting cooked. And offensively, there's just nothing.
You're looking at two players who are probably pretty close to even in terms of their defensive ability, but one is far and away better offensively. I'm going to take the guy who has the better offensive output and is even at defending.
Sometimes it's funny, and when he does something good, it's funny. It's like a joke.
We meme it because it's Ezgayo. Like,
it's like when the team manager comes in and hits a three, right? It's like hilarious and awesome. But I mean, we're a serious football team trying to win titles. He should not be on the roster next year. He should have been on the roster this year. I mean, that it's just inexplicable for a serious team to be carrying players like that, let alone having them play serious minutes.
Send him to Saudi. Send him to MLS. I don't care,
bro. I literally don't know if he starts on like Vizela, bro. Like, I don't know. I don't know if he's even.
Does he start on an MLS team?
I don't know if he's a Liga B win quality player. Like, I'll be completely honest. Does he start in MLS?
Because I think most MLS teams wash most.
I think he starts for maybe like five MLS teams.
Yeah, they're probably not five great ones. If we're being honest.
Yeah, Nuno Santos was okay. Like, nothing that I was like too egregious. The sub to bring him off, I thought Mateus Reis when he came on was actually
his one-footedness becomes much more apparent when you play against better teams.
Yes, yeah. It shows very, very quickly, very strongly.
Yeah, when Mateus Reis came on, I thought we improved. Although we did obviously concede the two goals afterwards, I thought he was actually quite good. Was decent going forward
good.
As well.
I thought he was all right. Yeah, I know the two goals kind of came from kind of his side, but it was more just calamitous stupid stuff from everybody, not just him on those ones.
And to be fair, not to put too much praise on Benfica, and the word generational gets thrown around a lot, but João Neves is fantastic.
He might really be him.
I think he's better than what Renato Sanches was when he was at Benfica as well. I think he just not quite
flashy.
No, he's not.
Renato Sanches had like the sexy highlights. I think João Neves like fundamentally, like he's got better fundamentals, as the old heads say.
He uses his body well for his size. I mean, he really is impressive.
Yeah, because he's not a huge.
No,
not a huge
he's like dude. Undersized, if anything.
Yeah.
And speaking of undersized midfielders, Braganza, I thought, was our best outfield player on the pitch. I thought he was fantastic.
I think Zarshi's been subbed. I'll be honest.
I was a little surprised.
It could have been a pre-thought-out rotation. Like, okay, today you're going wondering. 60 minutes. No matter what, you're going 60 minutes.
That's what I'm wondering, because they know they have a killer game again against the exact same opposition at home on the weekend. So they're probably thinking, we need to kind of rest at least a few of you guys where applicable, because we're going to probably go through another war with them on Saturday. So I do wonder if that, like you said, Chris, if that was already something he thought he was going to do regardless.
Yeah, 5.1. I don't understand it, but
it's tough. You know. It's tough. Tough.
That's
crowd.
The only one. That's the only one, like, other than Israel's, where I'm like, that's a little harsh of a rating.
Yeah,
but
no, definitely.
That's about it. Like, on our side.
But I think what Chris says about being harsh, I think it looks worse when Morita came on. He was awful. He did not do a single thing right. The first two minutes gets a yellow. Loses.
Yeah, I was gonna say he's booked instantly.
Yeah, he was not great. Hulman, though, fantastic again. He's huge. Even when he doesn't score, it feels like he's been the most consistent player. You could probably put Jokeres there as well, but I think he's been the most consistently good player that you notice every time. He's so good. And that finish, man, even at Baron slow motion, you could see it curl in.
You couldn't get much more in the top corner without hitting that apex between the posts. Like, unbelievable.
And it was a great pass from Jokeres as well, to be fair, and a good run from him as well. Great ball. Even in Jokeres' worst game, he still gets an assist in my opinion. Yeah. This is probably one of the weakest games I've seen from Gyökeres all season, and he still gets an assist. Trincão especially was not great, but I also think he was let down a bit by Ezgaio at the right side as well. Like we said, no progressive passes. He had to create a lot of his own chances from centre half and move up. I felt a bit
He ran into a lot of players. I found that's what it was. He was just running into guys on one on ones and silly stuff.
Yeah, and also, you know, I love Paulinho. No way, that's a 7.6. Apart from the goal and that one chance, he should have arguably scored with a great save from Trubin. To be fair, he didn't do that much, but he scored, so I'll take it. Don't get me wrong, but considering he got 7.6 and Hjulmo got 6.2, it's just like, you know what I mean.
That's your goat, so you allow it.
That is my goat. So that's your goat.
He's on the wall of goats behind you. I can see him right now.
His match worn signed shirt is on the wall.
You gotta get that's one. You gotta get like put it in like a nice frame.
I've got two up here. I'm just gonna replace one of the shirts that are in it currently because they're not.
Who have you got in those ones up there that we can't
so see? I've got Coates on this one, and that was the shirt I wore when we went to the Sporting Cafe in London when we won the league. So that framed. With a train ticket inside as well, just for memories. The other one's just a Bruno Fernandes one I picked off Classic Football Shirts. They had loads there. I think it was like £45. Just thought, you know what? Buy it, put it in a frame.
Fair.
Why not? So probably that one I'll take away. But yeah, regardless.
Getting rid of the Bruno one, I'll buy it off you.
Special price for you, mate. £80.
£75. £30.
I'm not talking about Canadian.
I just told you pounds. I just told you pounds. I'll pay the pounds. Okay. I got to pay exchange. Okay. You got to give me something. My money's Monopoly money.
I charging you like Loja Verde? You're taking a 30 or a £30 shipping fee on that.
if it's £30 shipping, forget about it.
No, it went down a bit. It's actually like 26 now.
Holy shit. Let me order.
That's because I just bought this the other day.
But that's the U.S. I wonder if it's still 30 going to Canada. Oh, I'll let you know. Yeah. I got to order something for my nephew, and I want to order that retro Manuel Fernandez shirt. So I'll let you know what the shipping is eventually. We'll have our monthly Loja Verde update.
But yeah, I guess in the game, I've only got a few more things to say. Edwards came on, did that one good run. Arguably should have gone down from that Florentino tackle. Stayed up, fair enough, and then lost the ball.
Yeah,
so pretty much that was Edwards' all game.
He didn't invisible.
Didn't really have a lot.
Do a whole heck of a lot. If we're being
but didn't have a lot of time to do so. But lastly, just Gyökeres, man. Like I thought this was probably his weakest game for us. Maybe okay. If you,
I think he's had weaker.
I was gonna say the one they got sent off in like 8 minutes, but I'm not counting that one against was it Strumgrass? I think. Oh no, it was the Polish.
It was a Europa League though.
Yeah,
it's one of his weak. I don't know if it's his weakest. I think he's had
one off.
A couple stinkers. It's one of. It's like top three, top four, but it's not the weakest.
Oh yeah, true. Against Braga, maybe I'd put up there as well.
Yeah, I was gonna say he had stinkers against Braga. So I would say this is probably like third or fourth on the list of stinkers.
And even so, getting an assist. And there was still some good chance to hit the bar.
He hit the bar. Like if he scores off of one of those good chances, like he probably gets bumped up to like a fucking 8.0.
Like, we should have also a second assist of Paulinho. Yes.
Yeah. He had chances and he had like a chance for assists. Like it's a game of inches at the end of the day, right?
Yeah. There is a few, controversial things in this game. And one of them, I can't show the clip for obvious reasons. That is the penalty shout from Rafa. I'll send it in the group chat so you guys can see.
The one where he kicks Kouyaté's leg?
Where he kicks Kouyaté? Yes. Yeah. I don't know that's that shout.
That's the one the Benfica fans are
moaning
up in
about.
Arms about. Yeah.
What did you guys think of the... I think it was Rafa. He's battling for a loose ball with Nuno Santos in the first half, and he ends up stepping on his leg. You guys make anything of that one?
I think it's an accident.
Really. I think it's an accident. I've seen some moaning about it. That's all. So I thought I'd bring it up.
I think it's just kind of it's just an unfortunate accident, incidental contact, and it's just one of those things that happens. I don't think that one was much to moan about on either side.
Yeah, but I thought, in all fairness, Pinheiro, the referee, famously doesn't like Sporting. He did all right.
There wasn't really.
This is the first game that Juan Pinheiro's ref Sporting in like 2 years, right?
It's been a while. Guimarães. Guimarães away, we'll be lost. He was refereeing that game.
Was he the referee?
Oh, he was.
Yeah.
I thought I read an article that I blocked that game for a while.
No, I'm pretty sure he was the referee.
This season where we lost 3-2.
Yeah, because the shout for their, was it the our penalty or their penalty? I can't remember the game because I didn't watch it, but I remember Verandas coming out and speaking out against him, saying that we don't want to be refereed by him anymore. I'm pretty sure it was this season anyway.
They did that. I mean, do you remember the Kouats Taremi stamp yellow red card incident?
He was the ref.
That was him, right?
Yeah, that was him. Yeah. Also, Paulinho getting sent off in the Allianz Cup final for the elbow on Otavio as well.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that last.
You're right. Juan Pinheiro didn't officiate that game, Sam.
Yeah.
I think it's because we haven't had that's the only game we've had him, I think.
That's not even been that long. All right. Today, I don't think
there wasn't any real.
He didn't make history today or anything.
No, I thought
it was actually quite reserved to these yellow cards. Only what?
I thought he was letting them play a bit. I didn't mind it. Four, five,
but like most of them, you could kind of justify. Like there, I didn't really have any issues with any of them. No real for once, no real big casus for the most part. Save for like the one kind of penalty shout for Benfica, which I don't really think it's much of a shout, but agree to disagree.
It's funny that video, like I said, when I tweeted it, it cuts off the second angle, which clearly shows a bit more of when.
You can even see it in the first one a little
bit. In the first angle, you can still kind of make it out if you're paying attention.
If you know what you're looking for, But the second one is very obvious.
But yeah, like no one really got ripped off in any big way for once, which was nice to see. Like there's not much to moan about, thankfully. It was a relatively tame, well-reffed game, which. We don't get a lot of those. It's sad that we have to celebrate. The ref was great.
The ref did his job.
And they still surrounded the ref after the game. They still surrounded the ref after the game.
I expected that to happen regardless. Like
you kind of have to do it, right? Yeah. If you go out,
you're trying to save face, maybe is the best
way. I guess whenever any of the big three or even big four lose, it's sort of the way to go.
I know it's off topic, but Porto this past weekend.
Porto went ballistic against Estoril. They're Joe. It's Jover for Porto,
bro.
It's Jover for them.
That was one of some of the most ridiculous theatrics that I've ever seen.
That was crazy.
And the after was the car crash interview from Pino da Costa. I don't know if you've seen it. But I think it was yesterday or the day before. It's just so bad.
Doing these interviews. I was watching the one that was on the other day because it was just on the TV.
Yeah.
What do Portistas think of this? Because I feel like the more he talks, the less confidence he inspires.
Yeah.
Not speak until after the election. He should go into his basement and lock the door. I think that's probably the best strategy.
One of my good friends is a Porto fan. He's like loyalist,
He's a diehard.
Yeah. And I think a lot of the sentiment among Porto fans is like, thank you for what you've done. Obviously, probably greatest president.
Thanks for the memories. It's time to go.
It's time to go.
But it's the way he's going out is great for them.
It's not what he would have.
He still might win. Yeah. He might edge it out. I think he's going to win. I was looking at 80-20 like a month ago, but I think the margin is shrinking.
I think the margin is going to pull it out.
Every time they lose another game, it's going to go.
Every bad game they have and every dumb outburst from him or anybody on the team just worsens his game. I think it's close.
They have two games, and if they crash out of the cup, I mean, it's their last chance for a trophy, right? So,
yeah.
As sad as it is in Portugal, like that could be the ultimate determiner of whether or not he wins another term or not.
The two quotes in the interview that make me laugh is the first one, he says, they would have got to the Champions League final if they beat Arsenal.
Yeah, that was awesome.
And the second one was ever since Villas-Boas announced his candidacy.
The refs changed their decisions.
I don't think that's a thing.
Yeah.
I would love that to be true.
But I would love for that to be the case, but I don't think that's a thing.
The powers that be, the invisible hand, is pro Villas-Boas.
Here's a thing. if all of the big three are constantly getting screwed, then none of us are getting screwed. Like, we can't all be getting screwed at the same time, because that just doesn't make sense. Either we're all victims, or we're none of us are victims.
It's a Porto mentality, and I think it's in store from Sergio Conceição, where it's like, you don't lose. I know it's difficult to lose, especially that level. It's difficult to lose. But, like, it's always... whenever Porto lose, it's never, we weren't good enough. It was always something. Even against Arsenal, it was never, we weren't good enough. It was... headlines at the end of the game was Arteta said something about Sergio Conceição's family. Sergio Conceição had to, cause a big incident in the middle of the pitch.
It's a shame because I do think Conceição is a good coach. And I like players on Porto as well. Like, there's good players. I'm like, man, I love you on my team. And it's so sad to see them be such sore fucking losers.
Yeah, bro. I used to support maybe Sporting getting Conceição.
I'm kind of...
And so has Danny in the past. I'd love to hear if Danny has updated himself.
I think he's too fucking unhinged, man.
I don't think I want any part in him and his family's unhinged behavior.
Yeah, at this point,
he can't even keep it together at a U9 tournament, bro. No, like, the man
every dumb outburst, my want to have him as, like, a potential manager in the future lessens every time. Could you imagine if we had him during, like, the Bruno de Carvalho era?
I don't think the club exists in England or Italy. I think he would get banned, like, for a lot longer than he does in Portugal.
Well, because Portugal, Italy, he could get away with it. We don't run a little bit in Italy.
And also in Spain, because, like, Diego Simeone.
Send him to Turkey, it depends on the team he goes to, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Send him to Turkey. He'll get away with it there, I'm sure.
He'll get rewarded.
you can get away with attempted murder in Turkey. Be okay. In their football stuff. Yeah. Could you imagine if he was our coach when, like, Bruno Carvalho was the president? It would have been a train wreck.
Them two would have had a fist fight on the team.
I think they would have had to stop the game because they would have fought on the bench.
I mean, in person, also.
He was even angry with that.
Fair enough. But before, we still have one more game to go, but before you do that, Chris, who is your man of the match for this game?
Couple decent options.
There's a couple choices.
I'm gonna go with Braganza.
Okay. Fair enough. Richard, what about you?
I'm gonna go with Big Franco Israel. I'm gonna go with Israel. I thought he kept us, especially in the first half, kept us in the game. Had some really wicked saves. I'm gonna go with him. He's earned it.
Yeah, I'll give it to Israel as well. I thought fantastic. You know, the goals that I consider weren't his fault. Just looked a level above for me. I'll give it to Israel as well. But we do have one more game to talk about, and that was the one on the weekend versus Estrella, and it was a 2-1 victory. Let me get the right game up this time. There we go. And the lineup was as followed: Franco Israel in goal, Mateus Reis, Diamande, St. Just, Jenny, Nuno Santos, Braganza, Morita, Trincao, Paulinho, and Jokeres. So I'll start off quickly. That Israel corner, man. Like, in the laws of science, how do you punch a ball forward and go back?
Why do you go to punch it forward and it comes backwards? Bro managed to break the laws of physics.
The only thing I could think is, like, maybe if he closed his eyes so he's not actually looking where he's punching as he's punching out.
No, bro's actually an airbender.
I just could not believe what I was seeing. And to be fair, when that happened, I thought we're going to lose or we're going to draw this game.
Oh, I thought it was a trap game, yeah.
And even still, 2-1, it wasn't a very comfortable win. Like, there was still a lot of minutes, a lot of chances to go in that game. Paulinho scoring again. What can I say, man? It was a great header as well, and a great cross from Trincao. Yeah, it was Trincao, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was Trincao.
Great cross from Trincao as well. I think Chris said it in the chat. We've seen Paulinho miss those, and it does feel like a different Paulinho now that he's actually buried that. And it was a really good finish from him as well. I thought, definitely. And I thought Braganza again. Two games in a row that I thought he was probably one of the best players on the pitch. Trincao gets man of the match deservedly, so I think it was very good as well. But Braganza, man, we did have a conversation about him, I want to say about maybe 2 months ago, maybe a month ago, saying that, you know, he's a good player, but we don't think he's going to make it here. Doesn't really fit the system. And I think ever since that, maybe he was watching. I don't know, but he can't.
He saw that and he was like, and then it became personal with him. That's what it was. Yeah.
But he has been really good, and it's like even this game he was replacing Hjulmand, so it was the pivot of Braganza Morita. I thought Braganza filled the hole quite well, and even when Hjulmand came on, I thought, you know, it was still okay. But Braganza was really good, and he's sort of improving every game. It reminds me of like when Quaresma was going through that patch. He played in this game, come off the bench, but he's not actually had that starting role. But it does feel like every game is getting better and better, so hopefully it continues towards the end of the season and we can see what happens there. Other standout performers as well, Nuno Santos again getting the goal. Thought he was decent enough, didn't notice any mistakes. Mateus Reis for Inacio, that was as soon as Inacio came on, we looked a lot better, I think. But to be fair, I can't really remember much of this game because it does feel like a long time ago, even though it was what, less than 5 days ago.
It was Friday.
5-6 days ago. So yeah, not really what I can remember, but I can remember is Trincão being the best player on the pitch because he was very good. Richard, what were your thoughts on this game?
Well, Miguel Lopes had jokers in his pocket apparently.
We got a lot of flack for that. They were like, he was clearly joking. I was like, so was I.
He got so much flack. I'm like, man, can't even make a joke on Twitter anymore, for God's sake.
That's why I started the tweet off saying, despite losing 2-0, even though it was 2-1, and, you know, being near bottom of the league, that was my joke.
I thought he was being kind of funny, but I was like, whatever, who fucking cares? Not. I'm not going to add too much more to what you said, Sam. I thought Trincão was great. I thought Paulinho had a nice, tidy finish. Nuno Santos was good both ways on defense, and of course getting the goal was a nice job to clean up the rebound. But Braganza was great. I thought Morita actually looked good as well. St. Just, Jenny both looked great. Ishgael, Hjulmand, and Quaresma, like, they were kind of the main subs that came in. They just didn't do much, partly because they just didn't have much time to really make much of an impact. It was 2-1. They were kind of coasting. I do agree that when Inacio came in for Mateusz Reis, they kind of shored up defensively and they kind of calmed down a bit. There wasn't so much things got a little less sloppy, not that they were super sloppy. Nothing really to add. Jokeres was locked down, kind of. He did all right, got into space here and there, but it kind of just allowed for guys like Trincão and Paulinho and the rest to kind of get into the spaces as needed. It kind of left them open, which was nice. It's 2-1 win. We have a chance to now go, what, 4 points up this weekend. We still have the game in hand. Like, who the hell knows, man?
Yeah.
We could be in very good or bad mood in the next like week or two, depending on some of these games. we're gonna be needing the calculators pretty soon. It's about that time.
The only issue with this Benfica game is obviously we just
played them.
So they're going to be the one in revenge straight away.
Oh, they're, you know, they, and understandably, because they played great today, and like they would have been deserved winners today.
They should have scored at least five in that first
half. They should have peppered our ass with goals in the first half.
And if that happens again on Saturday, we will be in trouble.
They're not going to
miss those chances again.
They are going to be pissed off coming into that game. There are what you don't need them to be already. It's a derby game. They're already going to be motivated. The last thing you need is for them to be in a bad mood with a point to prove.
But on the bright side, we are at home this time, so we will have a lot.
It is at the Avalá. We've made the Avalá a fortress for the most part this season.
Even in the first leg of this game, we were fantastic in the Avalá. I think
it's gonna be a war on Saturday. Not to look too far ahead because we're still talking about this game. But yeah, we need to keep winning the games until we have that game in hand played, just to, you know, kind of keep up the pace. You know, depending on what happens this weekend, we kind of give ourselves a little bit room to kind of have a little fuck up down the line if it happens. We still have still have a couple of hellscape games, especially this month in April. This is the brutal month, so we'll see. But they did well playing this game. I got no complaints. We take 3 points at the end of the day. I really didn't add much, but you know, here we are. Here we stand. Or sit. Whatever. It's tired. I'm tired. It's been a day.
Chris, what about you? What are your overall thoughts on this game?
Yeah, I mean, I've been relatively, impressed is maybe not quite the right word, because I haven't been like so impressed with Estrella Damadora, and they're not out of the woods yet as far as staying in the division. Yeah. But I will be disappointed if they do end up going down, because I've liked them at times. I thought that they've played hard, that they've been well coached.
They've had a lot of one goal losses,
man. They gave us a tough time in this game. They're probably aided by sort of a frangu and an early goal. But, mm-hmm. They were not easy for us to break down. And the 2-1 win was not a given at all. I think that this is a team that definitely deserves to stay up. Mm-hmm. I'll be disappointed.
Well, what's the standings actually looking like for who's bottom right now?
It's Chaves, Vizela, and Portimonense just fell back in the relegation.
They're
back. They were back.
Axes and Portimonense in a relegation.
They've had a couple months out of the drop zone, but they are back, baby.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of agree with you. I'd like to see us still have a death tax is Portimonense in a relegation fight. Like, the world is healing.
It was interesting to see Miguel Lopes man marking Jokeres. He's done a decent job.
Yeah, definitely.
No one's really out of the world.
Estrella's right there. You know?
Yeah, no, even up here.
Up until, I would say, up to there, like from 16th to 8th, from 17th to 18th, like, or yeah. to eight, like, man, like,
I don't and Famalicão was in like 12th, and then they won, and then they moved like five places, you know.
Yeah, that's gonna be I think it's still gonna be very much a dogfight for staying up between those places for sure.
They are, I agree, Gary.
Yeah, Rio Ave, so much better. I've not been impressed. It's
crazy that they're even in this situation. They have so many almosts. If they go down, it's just the ultimate almost, right? What could have been, and I hope that
that's Cazapia looked good actually to start the season. They've kind of
they won 4-0 this past weekend somehow.
Yeah, as did Boavista. they started off well. Like, it's just teams are starting to a lot of these teams are starting to level out now, is what you're seeing.
Yeah.
And back to the Estrella again. I thought Nuno Santos was possibly our best player. Very dangerous. Scored our goal. Put himself in dangerous positions, was constantly involved in like finishing opportunities, crosses, dangerous passes. I thought Nuno Santos was really good in this game.
Yeah. It was one of his better games this season. Yeah. I would agree.
Yeah.
No Rabonas from him, I don't think, this game.
There was a Di Maria Rabona in this game that was dangerous.
Nearly caused some issues. Caused a couple issues.
Yeah. But yeah, that was pretty much it for that game. Of course, we mentioned that Benfica, we do play Benfica on Saturday at home.
And Benfica had just won also sort of riskily right before the Estrella game. So we went in.
Oh, yeah. They missed what? Three pens?
I mean, two pens, but three.
Two, but they had to retake one and they still missed on the retake. And they still won 1-0. I was like, God damn it.
Remarkable.
We were so close to glory. We were so close to the edge of glory there. Can you imagine the scenes?
And also from that Estrella game, Saint just completed 90 minutes for the first time in nearly a year, which is
holy.
And he played again today.
He played today too. What a time to be alive.
I wonder what the actual number of games he's played. Like, what is the record in this match that he's played consecutively? It must be, what, 5-6 push? Because there was a stretch last year. It was like Arsenal twice, Juventus the first game. So it was from like the first Arsenal game all the way through to the Juventus home, the first leg.
Yeah, like a month.
It's got to be close to that. I don't think.
But was there an international break in the middle? it could have
been. Yeah, like, I don't know. Four. I don't remember.
No,
someone will have to point that out to us, I'm sure, if they're knowledgeable. Because yeah, it can't be too many games, I would imagine.
Yeah, and apparently Adan needs 3 more weeks until he can return. Should be ready at the end of April. When I tweeted that, everyone replied, you know, don't be in a rush to heal. Please don't. Take your time.
Take your time, King. It's fine. Yeah, I'd agree with that sentiment on the social medias.
But, like, the one big one, the big news talking point is Ruben Amorim, one of the front runners to be the new Liverpool manager. Fabrizio Romano is said the same. He's also being linked to Barcelona. He's being linked to...
We're just going to do a straight everywhere. Swap. We're going to sign Jurgen Klopp. So, not even worried about it.
Yeah, but, man... If what are your guys thinking? Do you think he's definitely gone at the end of the season, or is it like 50-50? Or
I don't know. I'm being honest, it's really hard to tell. At the beginning of the season, I was guaranteed he's gone, but the more he talks, the more I think he kind of seems to want to stay.
Yeah,
I might just be talking out of my ass. If he's, I wouldn't.
Is the team that wins the Premier League? Is the team, let's just say they win the Premier League and they win Europa League.
Yeah.
Are they going to hire Ruben Amorim?
I think that's a
big step up.
That's a huge step. Even if they win one of those. Like,
the only reason why is if you look at the free agent list of coaches, is there anyone really that you'd be like, maybe Mourinho, like back in the day, Mourinho.
I think Mourinho is going to end up back in England.
I know Xabi Alonso said he's staying, but like, is he really? Is he not going to change his mind in July?
I think he's holding out for Real Madrid, because I think Ancelotti's probably got one more year of Real Madrid.
He's holding out for Ancelotti to go. But I figured the Liverpool job was his. So did I. But. That him being like, I want to stay the extra year. It's kind
of. He could have the Bayern job too if he wanted that one as well.
He was linked to Bayern, and again, like that came around the same time, and then the news came out that he's like, no, I'm staying, and that kind of threw monkey wrenches into a lot of teams' plans all of a sudden. Yeah, I don't know, because who is really available as coach? I do think Mourinho is ending up back in England. I guarantee his next coaching job is in England. I don't think it would be for Liverpool. I think there's just too many egos in the Liverpool locker room for him to deal with. I think like the second he got pissed off at like a Van Dijk or a Trent Alexander-Arnold, they would just not be able to, their timbers would be shivered. They would not handle it. So like who does Liverpool realistically go after outside of Amorim? That's the thing. Like there's not much out there.
And for me, so I think he's gone in the season,
regardless of what we do, he's gone. You think?
Yeah. For me, it's just like, what more can he do? He's won us a title. He's
unless
won us
he's really around 16, winning like a European trophy at that point, or going back to back. Like I'm with you.
Yeah, I suppose. But for me, it's just like, what more can he do? European trophy, even still, I think that's unrealistic. As much as I would love us to, when you look at the clubs that are spending that are winning these European championships,
it's just not feasible at this time.
Especially because next year is the Champions League table, so he can't even fall into Europa League. So it's either Champions League or nothing. So, yeah. And for me, he got us into round of 16, first time in 10 years. I know we got smacked by Man City, but to be honest, losing 5-0 to one of the best teams of all time is, you know, not too bad. It's no 12-1, but you know,
we've had worse.
He won us the league. And let's be honest, he has changed the culture from inside and out. The whole culture of Sporting has changed for the better since he's come in. The scouting, the transfer dinners, the release clauses, even little things. Sporting backstage didn't exist when he wasn't there. I don't say that's an Amorim thing.
How he deals with the media in general. Like, it's not, like, just to compare him to, we're back to Conceição here, but like, it's such a polar opposite from some of the coaches, other like especially Portuguese coaches, like the Conceições and the Jesus and what have you. He's like not super combative. He doesn't start like stupid bullshit in the media. Like it's nice to just have like a calming presence, and it's not just a war of words where it's like I have to be the last one to say something semi-witty, which is nice. Because that's just all Portuguese football in a nutshell. It's just someone's always got to get the last word in. He's just like, I really don't care. I'm just focused on the game. And like, it's nice to just have that where there's not a lot of bullshit.
Yeah. What reason for him to, like, there isn't one. And especially, look, if you think of the Liverpool job,
Klopp was in it for what, nearly 10 years, probably 8 years now. How often does like Liverpool job, does, okay, Bayern Munich, fair enough, comes up a bit more often, but like Barcelona, these jobs don't come up too often. So even
not crazy, especially at the same time too, where you actually have a choice, right?
Yeah, and there's a lot of other questions, like, you know, is Chelsea gonna get a new manager? PSG gonna get a new manager? Is, you know, any other club gonna get a new manager? Manchester United, for example, not, like, they've got new owners or they've got new investors. Is Ten Hag going?
Hot take. Ten Hag's gone. Mourinho back to United. Who says no?
United, I think.
Nah, you know, I'll die on the hill that if they had just fucking backed him, they'd be in a much better position.
I think, here's my theory on Mourinho. If Villas Boas wins the elections, I feel like he's going to try and get him in. If he doesn't, he's going to go to Newcastle and they're going to get rid of Eddie Howe and bring in Jose Mourinho.
Interesting.
Because he always had that connection to Bobby Robson.
Newcastle. Sir Bobby, I suppose.
So, might be.
I think his next job's in England regardless, but.
Me too. But I say no for this one, by the way. No. You can't go
I would, just for the chaos.
You can't go from such a calm manager like Ruben Amorim. We're good with the press.
I know you're talking about how it's nice to have, like, no bullshit, but, like, it would be, like, even for, like, just a month, like, it would be glory. We would have so much content. Like, we would have so – think of the content, Sam. It would be glorious, even just for a little
bit. I mean, I know, but just like, come on. To be fair, like, I think
would end in a train wreck, more than likely. But like, by God, think of the fun we will have along. Think of the friends we'll make along the way.
I think Mourinho is actually, I think I could see him at Benfica if they get rid of
I don't know.
He's been at their games a few times. He's been at the stadium watching the game.
He's been at Stubal watching games too. Is he going to go coach Stubal?
Yeah, but why would he watch Benfica specifically?
Yeah.
As far as I know, I've not seen him at the Alvalade watching a sporting game specifically. I think I've seen
that's
him at Porto.
That's because he can't afford the tickets. Our ticket prices are too high.
True.
No one will end up his game box.
No. Yeah. I don't know. I think he's gone at the end of the season. As much as I don't want him to go, trust me, I'd
happily keep him, but yeah, I wouldn't. I think I lean with you. I think he's gone, but I don't think it's as cut and dry as we thought. I think it's going to be a very close decision. Like, it's going to basically be like what he thinks the circumstances are. Like, does he want to deal with the egos, or is it like, I just want to go make money, or is he comfortable and he's like, I want to give him one more.
He has to make a step up eventually. And I'm not saying
it's got to come soon.
But Sporting is a big club, don't get me wrong. To go to like a Liverpool, to a Barcelona, to someone like that, it is a step up in not just culture, in terms of money, in terms of like media presence, in terms of just TV viewership. It's all up.
It's everything. It's just that you're under so much bigger of a microscope, right?
Exactly. Like,
it's crazy, the exposure difference.
Yeah, so he's got to make a jump eventually. And, you know, he has taken risks in the past. Joining Sporting is probably the biggest risk of his managerial career.
That could have made or broke him, and that could have made or broken the club, if we're being honest.
But he saw it out. He is a risk taker, so I guess we'll see. But I'm not too confident. Obviously, I hope he stays. But
I'd prefer him to stay, because like, we don't really know who we get. That then it becomes the who do you get if he goes. And I'm not having this discussion again until we know what's going on. We've had this discussion all the time. We're gonna wait.
But so. Even, you know, Ruben Amorim's been linked away. Hugo Vian has been linked away to Newcastle as well. Obviously, he used to play for Newcastle.
Well, he played for Newcastle, the director of football. Well,
so you know, they're both of them could. It could be a whole sort of culture shift. They can go, and then players go.
There could be, right? Like, this is going to be a very interesting.
He's going to
Betamar. He's going to Betamar. He signed up for the boys. Bring him back, baby.
Bring him back.
Do you want to do fantasy or do you want to do league predictions next?
I'll do one more thing, and that is this weird interview/article that came out. Why?
This was just weird. I mean, cool, but yeah, like, he's washed now. If you'd asked me if he wanted to come back, like, even 3 years ago, I would have said, sure, why not? Like,
yeah,
but he's totally, completely washed now.
But it's not even something like, oh, you could bring him in for the atmosphere. Because how many times has he shat on Sport in the last 10 years, been like, oh, I love Sporting, but Porto is my home. And Porto is this, and Porto is that. And it's just like...
Well, he wanted, when he came, when he was leaving Barcelona, he wanted to come back to Sporting. And the only reason he went to Porto was because they included him in the deal to get Deco from Porto, right?
Yeah. And also, like he was going to join.
Yeah. It's not like Simao, though, where Simao was like, oh, I might go back to Sporting. And I said, no, I'm going to Benfica. It wasn't like that. Like, Quaresma didn't have much of a choice in the matter. And he did have some of his best football at Porto. So I understand his affinity.
Before he came back to Porto from, I think it was Bezic Castle, maybe somewhere else.
He's got a couple stints at Porto.
Yeah, Bruno de Carvalho agreed a deal for him to come back, but it fell through for whatever reason. I can't remember exactly what the reason was, but it fell through. He was going to sign.
I remember the reason.
Oh, yeah. So, like, I think it was 15, 16, maybe 16,
It'd have to be like in the mid-2010s, I'm assuming. It'd have to be in and around that time period. Yeah, I understand his affinity for Porto because he did realistically play his best. Like, most of his Streets Never Forgets hot montage is from his time in Porto.
Yeah, but the way he speaks about Sporting is like, he's so like ominous. He's like, they know what they did to me, but he never said what they've done. So I don't know. Just Quaresma being Quaresma, I suppose. He's
a different type of cat. He's a different type of different dude at the end of the day, right?
League predictions. Only me and Richard get him in. And luckily, I got the two goal scorers.
You got a goal scorer and the win. I got the win. None of us predicted for today. We all forgot. Life happens for the TASA. You have to go up. Zero points. Yeah. We did have a recount because we realized whoever was handling this at the beginning of the season fucked up in the Europa League. So if you go to the points table, things are a little closer now if you go up to the top. So Danny has retroactively been awarded points for the Sturm. It was a Sturm Graz game, which you can see in your frame anyways. We had like 0 points given to a bunch of us. And I realized today, I'm like, whoever was handling this in the beginning screwed up. So Danny retroactively has been given his 3 points and the rest of us have been given our 1 and 2 points. As follows. Table as it stands, I stand at 77. Chris is at 65. I just have to hold him off. Sam is not too far behind. He's creeping up on Chris, only 3 points. And then Danny is, with his retroactive points, has gained some ground on Sam. He's only 2 points behind you, sir. So we've got we got a bit of a race for second. We've got a race now for second. It's competitive, but I've kind of run away with it. And I just need to be consistent. I just need to make sure I get a prediction in for the remaining games and for the TASA game. That's it.
We got to start getting some exact scores here.
You guys got to start getting exact scores and goal scorers. That's what you need.
Yeah, definitely.
It's not over. The title
it's
race.
It's not over until
I'm not. I'm not conceding the title race quite yet.
Chris is gonna be at the end of the season. He's gonna predict like an 11-0 game. Everybody to score. It'll come through for him. All of a sudden, he gets the exact result. All the goal scorers, huge points. It's gonna be top 10 anime comeback.
So let's go to fancy predictions.
This is where no anime comebacks are happening. Fantasy is where no anime comebacks are happening, at least for me and Sam.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not gonna lie. So to preface this,
monster,
I got 80 points this game week.
Yeah, you had a monster week.
But you know, it nearly didn't happen. I was at work and the work Wi-Fi for some reason doesn't work with this app. I don't know what's wrong with it. So it lets you log in, but it won't let you do like any actions, so like you can't change.
You can just walk, but you can't do transfers.
I bought in two Porto defenders. And luckily
they didn't say
Rujo and Nuno Santos, and they just didn't. I think I took Nuno Santos out as well, and they just didn't. It didn't save, luckily. So I had
almost left. What? So let's see your bench then. You almost left so many points on your bench.
I left Banza on the bench. Nothing.
You left Banza again. That's the only That's the only guy you really realistically left points with. Okay.
Yeah, but still, Muji got 7. Yeah. Like,
If you sub out one of your midfielders, you get an extra like 8 or 9 points total. So, yeah. Okay.
So it wasn't a bad game week for me, but it nearly didn't happen.
I gained 9 points on Chris and 8 on Danny, but really is not going to do much.
Yeah, you got
Antonio Silva let me down. Costa let me down in goal. Antonio Silva not helpful.
How was it only a -1 point for Red? I feel like it should be more than that.
Yeah, it was really my defenders and my goalie, and then I left like nothing on the bench. So
yeah, 0 points around.
So yeah, it was just my guys in my 11 let me down.
Then we got Chris with he got Israel's come in.
Look at him go. The only points, you didn't get any points for Kawach.
Kawach didn't play, yeah.
Reserves. No reserve issues.
Reserves did not come through for me.
No, you're actually all right this week. All right.
14th in the States, though. Not bad.
He's moved up, I think, actually, too.
Is Danny still in the top three of Canada?
Oh, he is. He's been fluctuating between 4 and 2 for the last like month and a half, 2 months.
Daryl Costa let him down. No points for Mark.
What's his
no points? Point.
So it's his starters let him down, a couple of them. So
yeah.
Okay. It's pretty much Jover, anyways. Like, I know me and Sam really can't do much. I almost made a run for Eucharist at one point, but I think it's pretty well. I'm like less than 100 points again, but like you'll probably put a fucking 20 piece on me next week. So
yeah, but let's look at the next fixtures. Of course, we know who it is, but we will go to it anyway. And that is this game right here, 6th of April, 8:30, Sporting versus Benfica. It's going to be a tough game, and arguably could be the title decider, because we've still got a game in hand, don't forget, but who knows what happens after this game. This to me is the title decider. If Sporting win, I think I'm not going to say that we're going to win, but like it gets closer and closer, and I think Benfica could crumble after another loss. Especially Schmidt has had a lot of controversy around his managing this season, and there have been some white flags waved at some points. Losing 5-0 to Porto, of course. We've still got to play Porto as well. So even still, it is a title decider, but we still got a good run of games. We got the three.
So we have them. We have Chaves. We have Morena. Oh, no. We have them. Who's our schedule after them? I'm trying. Like, what's our remaining game? I know we have Porto one more time.
So we have Gil Vicente after
Gil Vicente Benfica. Away. Okay.
On Friday. And then we have Famalicão. Is that
the makeup game? Yeah.
The game in hand. And then we have Vitória, which will be a tough game as well, because
it's them. And I think Porto back to back. We have, if I'm not mistaken,
Porto away as well, even worse.
April is a hellscape domestically; it's unbelievable.
But I think Porto have a game in between here against Guimarães, or maybe between here against Guimarães. So in the Tassa, so yeah. Maybe that comes in our favor. And to be honest, the wheels are falling off Porto anyway. So,
it's between us and Benfica for the title. It's going to be one of those two.
Yeah. But also, Benfica Braga is going to be a good game to watch. Definitely one to look out for.
Braga seems to turn up at the Estádio da Luz, to be fair. Not so much at home, but when they go to visit Estádio da Luz, they've taken some points off them the last few years.
Yeah, definitely. And then we've got Portimonense, and then we've got Estoril away, and then we've got.
We round off with Shams.
So 19th could be crucial. Hopefully we can win it before then. But, you know.
We're going to need to start, like, after this week, we're going to need to start getting the calculators out. I think it's officially going to be time to start talking about scenarios of what can and can't happen. Exactly. We'll see. Because, yeah, if we win against Benfica, we go 4 points up. If they win, they go 2, but we have the game in hand still. So, like, it's all kinds of chaos, right? And then if we win the game at hand, Christ, then all of a sudden it becomes friggin' like an 8-point advantage or 7-point advantage or something. Like, if they beat Benfica and they win the game in hand and things kind of stay the same, like it's going to be interesting, but we'll see. Knock on wood here.
Yeah, definitely. Chris, is there any modalities news you've got going on?
We lost the Taça de Portugal in futsal.
Yeah, futsal lost the Taça de Portugal final to Braga, 5-3 in overtime.
Yeah, yeah.
Handball won their Taça the game. They've advanced to the quarterfinals, I believe. Handball, they beat Porto as well last weekend. Still haven't lost in the league. Still alive in the Taça. Still alive in Europe. I mean,
they're having a season.
Handball's having a great season. Ladies won, but Benfica beat Braga, which a Braga win would have helped us out a little bit. We're still 5 points back of Benfica, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, but
Braga's now falling off. They're like 10 points behind us in third. So second's basically locked up, I would say. Hopefully, Benfica drop some points along the way.
If they can get back someone to make a draw for them once or twice the next little bit, it would help.
I'm trying to think.
Futsal Final Four has got to be coming up soon, too.
Yeah, that's usually in April. Yeah, so it's usually like the end of April. So a couple weeks, 2-3 weeks probably.
Who are we playing? I know both Benfica.
Barcelona, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, it's always like Barcelona or some weird random whoever Cardinho plays for. Yeah, I know Benfica's in there as well. So it should be interesting.
Yeah, I don't. Oh, I don't really follow volleyball that much, but I know they won the Tasa de Portugal 2 weeks ago. And yeah, I think that's really it.
Yeah. There wasn't
basketball won their Tasa de Liga game this weekend, so they're gonna advance to the next round. They play like a group stage in the basketball Tasa de Liga, so they won their group, so they'll advance to the next stage. But yeah.
Yeah. Fair enough. I think that's it, unless anyone else has got anything to bring to attention.
Nothing that I can really think of.
Mm-mm.
Cool. So I guess we'll wrap it up there. 370 viewers tonight. Thank you all for joining in and getting involved in the conversation. If you do want to get involved, feel free to follow us at All Things Alvalade down there on all social media platforms, on all podcast platforms as well. Hey, guys, for watching. We'll see you next time. Yeah. Peace. We'll be right back.